blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 327, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord, Thy word to me remember. Thou hast made me hope in Thee. This my comfort in affliction, that Thy word hath quickened me. 1 and 2 of Psalter 327. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Verses 49 through 56 of Psalm 119. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. David Arnold Dusen, who were blessed with a well-born boy this past Monday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-sufficient, a holy and righteous God, we are together in this morning. Once again, it is in the way of thy goodness, thy long suffering, that again we are spared by Thee, and that again we are permitted to come up around Thy holy word, Thy everlasting testimony. Thou didst say that it is a word that will never be forsaken by Thee. It is a word which shall be fulfilled. The heavens and the earth, they will pass away, but Thy word shall not pass away. And everything that is therein, that will come to pass, and every word which Thou hast spoken, Thou wilt fulfill, and the threat, the punishment for sin, but also the word of mercy unto those who may look to Thee. Oh, that Thou may remember each of us in this morning. Lord, that Thou may look on us when we are together round about this word in Thy house of prayer upon Thy day. Lord, come then. Oh, come Thou from above and bless and sanctify that word to us and our dear children. Lord, the time is so short. Our life that goes to the grave. We do not know the day of our death. We do not know that moment. It is hidden from us that we will have to stand before Thee in judgment. And Lord, our life that is so very serious. But we are also so very dead by nature. And we are so very careless over that one great matter and the need of our soul. And that time that Thou givest us for preparation, we do squander away in seeking all the vanity of this world. Lord, what a day that shall be. And when it shall come upon us as unawares, and we shall stand before Thee, and we shall remember the days of our life, when we have gone after all this world, and we shall remember the hours, and we shall remember the months and the years and that have gone by us, wherein we had no concern, wherein we have sought all that is vain and carnal and passing away. And then we shall see, O Lord, and then we shall see how that our life has been spent in vanity. Oh, that we may be given eyes this day before that great day comes. That we may be given understanding hearts in this day. And while it is still a day of grace, and while there is still time to be converted, and while there is still an opportunity to bend our knees, and while the door is yet open, and before that it is forever too late, Lord, we are so dependent upon Thee in this matter. For we have fallen in our father Adam. The ability from our side is taken away. And the concern is taken away. And the desire we have lost. And so we are in such a wretched and a miserable state and condition. But Lord, Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world. And for what purpose hast Thou paid that great price? Oh, that Thou may also apply it to us and our dear children. And Lord, hast Thou not preserved Thy truth amongst us by the hand of our forefathers and given it unto us and to our dear children?
A privilege above so many millions and billions in this world. And Lord, that thou may also then bless and sanctify that word. Oh, that thy kingdom may come, Lord, that it may come also in the midst of us and of our dear children, and that thou may raise us up to be monuments of thy grace and of thy long suffering, that thou may raise us up to be among those who shall smite upon our breast, who shall cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that we also may know what it is to be justified by thee. Oh, how we shall magnify thee, Lord. How we shall glorify thee by beginnings already here below. Oh, how our mouth shall go open in thy praises. Then thy Son will be glorified. Then the triune God will receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, then it shall be another one who is born into a new life that can never die, and that will be taken up unto thee to glorify thee, and with that 144,000 forever and forever. Lord, we beseech it of thee in this morning. It is thy own word, and we need thy own work to accompany it. That thou may look on us then in this morning and stop us in our mad career. Look on also thy own children, all thy church in whatever condition of life that they may be in. Oh, they are also in our midst, are they not, Lord? That thou would increase their number, but that thou may also increase their knowledge. That they might come to know more and more of themselves and to despair of themselves. That they may come more and more to know thee. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, whom to know is life eternal. That thou may give them something of that life by renewal in this morning hour. That thou may revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, look on those who are in distress, and thou knowest where that they are. Thou knowest if they are in our midst, and thou knowest where they are over the length and the breadth of the world. Thou knowest those who are quickened by thee. Thou knowest those who do not know the way. Thou knowest those who cleave unto the earth. And who are not able to raise themselves up. Oh, thou knowest those for whom that way is so hidden, and who carry that burden of sin upon their shoulders. Lord, look on them this day. Oh, could it please thee that thou may come in the midst of all thy church over the length and the breadth of the whole world. And that thou may open the way of free and sovereign grace unto those who are in distress. That thou may reveal it unto them, and that they may be given to rejoice in thee. O Lord, then they shall exclaim that the snare is broken and we are escaped as a bird out of the hand of the fowler. O Lord, that thou may look on them in mercy. Give a little light in the prison and open those prison doors and show something of the freeness of thy mercy and of thy grace. Look on us as a congregation. Lord, help all those that are afflicted and sick. Thou knowest where they are. Wilt thou supply strength for the bodies? And wilt thou prevent sickness from spreading amongst us, and that thou may also use these ways, for they are callings, that we also may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Look upon the parents who have received a well-born child. Oh, humble their hearts before thee, and wilt thou supply for mother and child to gather strength and strengthen them to gather and give. that it may yet be a child which is born to be born again also with their other children. Lord, and all the children of the congregation, oh, they are also here this day, many of them, and the young people. Lord, thou knowest that they also, with all of us, even as older ones, we have no desire for thee or for thy word. Of ourselves, it needs to be planted, Lord. Oh, could it please thee to use us now as a little instrument in thy holy fingers. Oh, thou hast raised us up again, and we may acknowledge thee, that we may be set in our place once again that thou hast given unto us. Oh, Lord, that we might feel it in this morning, and that it is indeed the place that thou hast given unto us, and that thy word may have free course, and that there may be a room for it this day. Oh, that thou would plow a fallow ground, and that thou would make that seed of thy word to fall into that ground, that it may be a word which may bring forth fruit unto eternal life. Lord, remember us, help us. In speaking and in listening, drive out the buyers and the sellers, drive out all sleepiness. And wilt thou give us attention, and wilt thou grant thy spirit to be feelingly and believingly amongst us. Forgive, O Lord, our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him, whose goodness none can measure. We announced that catechism classes on Monday evenings will begin at 7:15 p.m. instead of at 7:30. And that is to help with the confession classes, which are meeting after the catechism classes. Psalter 428, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 119, and thereof the 50th verse. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So far, the words of our text. Quickened by the word, David's comfort. First, quickened. Second, quickened by the word. And third, the comfort of being quickened by the word. Thus, quickened by the word, David's comfort. First, quickened. Second, quickened by the word. And third, the comfort of being quickened by the word. For thy word hath quickened me. We read very many times, congregation, in this psalm, this word, quickened. Thus, what is that? Quickened. Quickened, that has to do with life. And that has to do with life actually over against death. That is to be made alive or to live. Or that I may be sustained, that I may be upheld. In life, quickened. Thus, a renewal of life or a revival of life. What a great contrast that there is between life and death. There are many contrasts in this world. There is a great contrast between joy and sorrow, happiness and sadness, riches and poverty. So we can go on. So many things in this world which are a contrast, which are opposing over against one another. But what is now a greater contrast then we can find between life and death. Thus, it has to do with our existence or our non-existence. And for that reason, this quickening, that is a very great moment, that is of a very great importance. Why? Quickening. Because quickening, or to be quickened, that has to do with death, giving way unto life. That has to do with a resurrection from the dead. In paradise, life has given way to death. Why? Our children know that. It is because of sin. It was because of the punishment that is due to sin. We witness this every day. We see this every day, all around us, time after time. Life is giving way unto death. And then we are carrying our loved ones to the grave. Congregation, did you ever witness the opposite? Did you ever see the opposite children? Did you ever see where death has given way unto life? Have you ever seen where a person was quickened? Where a person was dead and that he became alive again? He said, no, this I have never seen. He said, that would be a very, very great miracle if a person were quickened when he were dead and that his death would give way to life. That has happened in the world, in the history of the world. We can read it in the Bible. And then there are times where those who were dead, think of the widow of Nain, and the Lord Jesus has made the death to give way unto life. And so we can read that more often in the Bible. That had a purpose. What was the purpose? That was for the furtherance, that was for the extension of the kingdom of God. That all men might know who is now the resurrection from the dead, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that men may see his divine power, who that he is not just a mere man, but that he is God himself. Thus a very special purpose that we see in the Holy Scriptures that the Lord has given from time to time, that death may give way unto life. And then we may read of it also in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That death has given way to life. For he has suffered, the apostle said, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Thus happened from time to time in the history of the world for the kingdom of God's sake, happened also in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that death has given way to life, quickened. It is also going to happen to us. Not one of us exempt from this. On that last day, when the graves will go open, and when our death is going to give way unto life, that will be for God's church. We can read it because of the Spirit of him who raised up Christ. The apostle says, if that Spirit dwell in you, then that same Spirit that has raised him from the dead, he shall also raise you from the dead. But that will not only be for his church, that will also be for the reprobate, for the wicked, and their death, their temporal death, that shall give way to life. They shall be quickened, and they shall come into judgment because of the righteous judgment of God. Then to receive in their bodies the things which they have done in their bodies in this world. For thy word hath quickened me. We have heard the reason that life that has given way to death in paradise. Why was that, children? Why was that? That life, Adam, Eve, they had life that gave way to death. Why? Because of sin. Because of the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the truth of God, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Therefore, it had to be that life gave way to death for that reason. What is now the basis that death that can give way to life? Life has given way to death because of sin. How can death give way now to life? What is the basis for this? What is the foundation of this? How is it possible that it can go the other way? How is it possible that a person can be quickened? There needs to be a basis. There needs to be a foundation. There needs to be a cause. What is the only cause? Well, that cause of death has to be taken away. What was the cause of death? That was sin. And when that cause of death is taken away, now that death that can give way to life. The cause of death needs to be taken away. How is it possible that this cause of death is taken away? Our children know the answer. That is because of the Lord Jesus. Yes, you are right. It is because of the Lord Jesus. Because of who He is. Because of what He did. Two things. His passive obedience and His active obedience. His passive obedience to pay the price for death. That had to be paid. Why? Because God has said that it had to be paid. And God is just and God is righteous. And it cannot be that when the Lord says that death will be the punishment of sin, that death is not the punishment of sin. Therefore, the passive obedience, that suffering and that death of Christ, that is in the first place the cause whereby that death may now give way to life. That is the first cause. Is it sufficient? No. Why is it not sufficient? Because life needs to be earned. Needs to be earned. Did the Lord not say that to our first parents, to Adam? Do this, and thou shalt live. Thus life, that is a reward for obedience. Thus, not only death needs to be suffered, that punishment is taken away, but now we have a second thing, now that life needs to be earned. Thus, this did not take place with man. We did not earn it. We did not earn it. No, Adam says, I will not do it. I'm going to go a different way. But now that life that was earned in the active, the perfect active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, here is now the foundation. Here is now the way. When life has given to death because of sin, here is now the way that death is able to give way to life. because of the payment for sin and because of that perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? Boys and girls, why did the Lord Jesus do that? Suffered, he died for sin. For himself, did he do that for himself? Say he did not need to do that for himself. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had no sin. No, the Lord Jesus did that for other people. For other people. He did that for his church, who is full of sin. And for that reason, there is going to be a quickening. For thy word hath quickened me. That has to be in this world, that there is a quickening, that there is a resurrection, that there is a death giving way to life. That has to be. Why does it have to be? Because that was the purpose of that mediator. Because it was the covenant of the Father with that mediator. Because God cannot lie. Because the purposes of the Lord cannot be frustrated. Cannot be that Christ comes into this world to pay the price for sin. And there comes no fruit of this. It is impossible. Death. Death. To the last day in this world, death is going to be giving way unto life. Then there is going to be a quickening. You say, I am not dead. I am not dead. Don't need to be made alive. No, that is true in a natural way. Not yet. That is coming. That we will be dead. Some sooner, some later. But our text, that does not speak in the first place about a natural death, but it speaks about a spiritual death. Do you still say, I am not dead? That is one of the greatest deceptions of Satan. To make men to deny that they are dead. One of his greatest and most effectual ways that he may keep a man from life, that he may keep a man out of Christ. Why? Because what did the Lord Jesus say? The whole need not a physician. And when we say, I am not dead, then I need no life. Thus, what is now that first step? That first step unto life, that is the knowledge of our death. What is our greatest misery? That we do not know our misery. Because when we do not know that death, when we do not see that death, when we do not understand that death, we will never seek after life. You perhaps say, no, I am not spiritually dead. I am different from the brute creation. I am different from the animals, are I not? The animals are not spiritual beings. I am. I read God's word. I pray. Is that not a spiritual activity? I meditate on the word of God. Is that not a spiritual thing? I worship. No, I am not. I am not spiritually dead. Man's fall, congregation, did not change the nature of man's being that he would make him into an animal. That is not what the Bible means when it speaks about man's spiritual death, as if man has no spiritual capacity in him anymore, and as if that man has become just as the animals. That is not the meaning of man's spiritual death. What did that fall of man do? That fall of man that has deprived man of God's image. What is it? Knowledge, righteousness, holiness. That is, in the midst of all my so-called worship, I have lost my knowledge. Children, if I have lost my knowledge, what am I? Then I am ignorant. If I have lost my knowledge, I am confused. Is that not the state of man by nature? In his religious activity, that he has lost the knowledge of God, that he is so completely confused concerning who he is himself, who God is, what his relationship to God is, that is part of the loss of that image of God. Lost his knowledge. He lost his righteousness. What does that mean? That he is no longer right with God. That means he is guilty. That means when he stands before the judgment seat of God, he must be condemned. Lost the knowledge of God. Lost true righteousness. Lost his holiness. That means he is not only ignorant, he is not only guilty before that bar of God's justice, but he is polluted. That he is full of sin and that he cannot bring forth any good thing. Is that not now the state of man with all his religion? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is now the spiritual death of man. Not that he has lost his spirituality, no, but that there is nothing, nothing that truly goes out from his soul to the true and to that living God. You know what Solomon says? The dead, they know not anything. They know not anything. Is that not so? So dead, we do not even believe our death state. Congregation, Paul looked back in his life, and he could look back on that time that he was full of religion. Full of religion. You know what he said of himself? Dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins, with all my religion. That's what I was. That's what he could see when he had been made alive. Not when he was dead. When he was dead, he could not see it. When he was dead, he was full of his own righteousness. When he was dead, then he was persecuting a tried and an afflicted people of the Lord. And when he was dead, he was standing so high above that people. When he became alive, when he was quickened, for thy word hath quickened me. All there is nothing that is more opposite than life and death. That is naturally, that is also so spiritually. We have never seen a dead man live. The congregation, did you ever see a spiritually dead man become alive? May you ever be a witness of this. May you ever behold this in your life. Can you say that there is now a man who was dead and he has been quickened into a new life? What will you have seen? Well, you will have seen the signs of that life. You have seen that there is something that is now breathing that was not breathing before. You will hear that there is someone crying that was not crying before. You will see that there is a concern in this man, in this woman, in this boy that has never been so before. You will see that there is a spiritual need that is living in their heart. Or what will you witness? Or you will see the power of that life, the work of God, more powerful than all the world, more powerful than Satan, more powerful than all the temptations of the world, because it will draw him. It will draw him out of that world, that he cannot live along with that world anymore. Oh, did you ever see? May you ever witness a person who has gone from death unto life? What will you see? You will see something of the love that you do not need to force this person. And the Lord does not force this person. But the Lord has made this person willing in the day of his power. Do you know what you will also see? You will also see the ignorance. Do you know what Bunyan says? It says in the Word of God that a people, when they are quickened, do you know what they say? They say, "What shall I do?" They do not know what to do. What shall I do? Do you know what Bunyan says? He describes such a person. He describes such a person who is quickened. And what does he say of that man? Well, he says of that man that he is looking. He is looking this way, and he is looking that way, as if he would run. And he yet stands still. Do do you see him standing there as if he would run? And yet he is standing still. He is not running. And why is he not running? Because Bunyan says he does not know what way to go. Men and brethren, what shall we do? This is now people, congregation, who are quickened. Men and brethren, what shall we do? But they do not know what to do. They do not know which way to go. They do not know how that they can be reconciled unto God again. Did you ever see a person who has gone from death unto life? Is there one congregation in our midst who has gone from death unto life? Children, did you ever see that in your friend? Congregation, have we ever gone from death unto life? For thy word hath quickened me. There is nothing that we need more in this world than to be quickened. Because outside of this quickening, we have no life. And outside of this, we are going to perish with all our religion. But there is also another quickening that is so necessary in the life of God's children. You say, maybe boys and girls, how is that possible? Are they not living? Have they not been quickened? Do they not now have spiritual life? Do they need that spiritual life to be given to them again? Do you know what we often sing? We often sing the words out of God's word, "Grant life unto my soul, O Lord, I pray." Who said those words? That was not an unregenerate man. That was David. David. Do you know, children, when he was converted? Do you know when he was converted? He was converted when he was a little boy. Are you converted? And later on in his life, then he asked the Lord if the Lord would grant life unto his soul. There is not only the deadness of the state of man, but there is also the deadness of the condition of man. That does not mean there is no life. That does not mean that that life is gone. That does not mean that that life is lost. That is impossible. That is what Arminius says. He says that we can fall out of that life. No, that is not possible. But indeed, there comes a time that it seems like all that life is gone. It seems like there is no breath anymore. It seems like there is no cry anymore. It seems like there is no concern anymore. It seems like there is no sorrow in my heart anymore. It seems that there is no joy anymore. Oh, it seems so different than it once was when I came up to that house of God with that voice of joy and of praise, with that multitude that kept holy day. Oh, then it seems so dead,
so hard, so cold that I am afraid I am like Galileo. He cared for none of those things. Are those people then indifferent to this? Sometimes they fear they are. Sometimes they fear that they have been overcome with indifference so that they fear that there was never life in the first place. But congregation, it is the fear of this that is the proof that it is otherwise. Because in this fear, there is a sigh. And what is that sigh? What is that sigh for? It is a sigh that there may again be a sigh. When they fear that all that sigh is gone, that there may be again a cry, that they may feel something of that life that they have felt in days gone by. What did David say? Lord, my soul that cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. O Lord, make it lively again. O, will thy wrath, wilt thou be forever angry with me? O, through all the ages is thy wrath going to endure? Oh, wilt thou not revive us again, that we may again rejoice in thee? Do you know what Asaph said? Asaph said, Lord, quicken me. Quicken me. And then we shall call upon thy name. Oh, Lord, quicken me, he said, and I will pray again. And I will pray again. Quicken me. Why? Because I am so dead. Because this is the way that people wish it? No. But because this is the way it is. This is the reality. And their helplessness to change it. Why? Where does life come from? It comes from heaven. That is for the first time. Or by renewal. But there are means for that life. There are means for that life. We see that shortly in our second thought. For thy word hath quickened me. How did the Lord create the world, children? How did the Lord create the world? He spake. He spake. That was all. He did not need to do more than this. Is not the word of the Lord powerful? Let there be light, he said. And then there was light. That is how the Lord brought life into the world. That is how he made man. How does the Lord renew that life? How does the Lord quicken, make alive a sinner? He speaks. That is all. He speaks. He says, let it be. And then it is. The word of the Lord. And what is that word of the Lord? That is this. The word of the Lord. That is now that word that the Lord is speaking. That he may quicken. That he may bring to life one that is dead. Is there power in that word? In that bare word of God? No.
It is by word and it is by spirit. Does man have power over the spirit? That the man may command the spirit of the Lord? That he may come to... No. But does man have power to read the word? Do you have power to do that, young people? Did the Lord give you eyes? Did the Lord give to you the possibility to go to school to learn to read? Did the Lord give to you His word in its truth? Do you have power to sit down and to read it? Yes, you do. Then let us never, ever hear again, I can do nothing. Never. Because you can do something. And you can read, you can come under the preaching. And there are so many sermons that are based upon this word. These are the means that the Lord is using. No, you cannot command the Spirit of the Lord, but you can use the means that the Lord has given for this purpose. Congregation. When Bunyan's pilgrim was standing, trembling, and crying out, what shall I do? What did he have in his hand? What did he have in his hand? A book. You know, children, what book that was. Do you understand what we are saying? It is not just Bunyan that says this. No, this comes out of the Word of God. This is the means that the Lord is using to make a man to begin to tremble. This is the means that the Lord is bringing a man to weeping and to crying out, what shall we do? Do you have the book? Do you have one, children? One of those books that the Lord has used so many times to quicken a man into new life? Thy word hath quickened me. Do you have one? What a treasure. Many boys and girls don't have one. Do you read it? No. You do not read it. Why do you not read it? Do you wish to live? Thy word hath quickened me. That is the way we can live. Is that word so dry? Do you not understand it? When you are reading in that word in the morning, when you will get out of your bed, do you say it is so dark? Do you say it is so difficult? Keep reading. Keep reading. Even when you do not understand it. Because if it pleases the Lord, one day it shall become so different. The Lord is a surprising God, children. Surprising God. And when you think it is too hard to understand, then the Lord comes. And the Lord blesses and he gives you to understand. Why? Because what does he do? He quickens you. He quickens you. He makes you from dead alive. Alive. In one moment. One moment. By the reading of his word. People of the Lord, it is no different in the condition of your life. No different. That which the Lord uses to give life, the Lord also uses to revive that life. Thy word hath quickened me. Why are you feeling so dead and so hard and so cold? Oh, have you neglected? Have you neglected that which the Lord is using to revive that life? And which can be so much to your comfort? Let us sing. Psalter 381, 1 and 2. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place. And praise thee for thy truth and grace. For truth and grace together shine in thy most holy word divine. In thy most holy word divine. 1 and 2 of 381. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thus the psalmist speaks about affliction and congregation, affliction that will be the portion of God's church, even unto the end of the world, that is, in many times, in an outward way, in a natural way, because it is not the great and the glorious that the Lord is choosing, but it is the base and the contemptible things of this world. And so often, then it is in a natural way that afflictions and trials and persecutions are the portion of God's church. Asaph, he was jealous of the prosperity of the wicked when he saw it. And yet, what is now the greatest affliction that is in the life of God's people? They are not things which are natural, because the things which are natural, they have taken a second place to all those things that are spiritual. And so the apostle, he says, that it is through much tribulation that you will have to enter into that kingdom of God. And what is now, do you think, children, young people, what do you think that greatest affliction of that quickened people is? That affliction that has been expressed by John Newton in that beautiful poem when he says, "Am I his? Or am I not?" Thus the affliction with which God's children are walking over this world, the question that they have in their hearts, and that which Satan is bringing every arrow against them to discourage them and to say to them, it is for you and it is with you hopeless. Sometimes, of course, the Lord is so very near that that question is not in the foreground. Not that there are no questions. Let us think for a moment about the disciples. There were 3 years that the disciples may go with the Lord Jesus. Had those disciples questions? They had so many questions. But, and they had not answers to them, to many of them. And yet as they may walk with him, and he may be near to them, then there was a hope. Then there was something within those disciples that may trust, and that may expect that the Lord was going to bring it to pass. The Lord was going to do something. And as long as the Lord Jesus was near, although so many of those questions remain, still there was that certain comfort in his very nearness, a comfort in his very presence. It is very different when that nearness and that presence is not felt. Because then there can be, with all those questions that remain, then there can be so much trouble and so many fears. These times, congregation, are often. Because it is not heaven on the earth. It is not yet a church triumphant, but it is a church militant here below. And it is not the will of the Lord that they should experience that closeness and that nearness every day here in this world. But at the same time, the Lord does not leave that people without comfort. even when they are without that felt nearness and that felt presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus told his disciples how that they should receive comfort in those days. You know what that was, young people? How would the disciples receive comfort in the days when the Lord Jesus was physically absent from them? How? Well, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to tell you things. And later on, you will remember them. Thus, when I am not with you, and you do not have my felt nearness and my felt presence, you may be comforted, you may be strengthened by the things that I told you beforehand. Thus, the Lord Jesus says to them that they will have a different kind of a comfort. Not that comfort of a felt nearness in that moment, but it will be a reflective comfort. Children, when your little brother or sister is in the arms of mother or father, then they feel that comfort. But you are not always there. Sometimes that you may receive a hug. Sometimes you also have to go away from the home. And you have to go to school. And then, well, then there are things you know in your mind. They are a comfort to you. What are those things? That my mother and my father, they love me. I know that from what they say to me, have said to me, from what they have done to me, what they do for me. Thus, that is a different kind of a comfort. That is a reflective comfort. So the Lord says also it will be for his church. That is what the psalmist says here. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thus, the greatest question of the church is what? Am I his or am I not? And when the Lord is near, then there is an expectation. But when that question is there and the Lord's nearness is not felt, now what? Now what? Now I need some marks. Now I need that I can lay my life next to that word of God. That I can ask, is that now still, is that the life of God's true children? And what is now one of those blessed marks that the psalmist is speaking of here? That is, that the Lord is quickening his people through his word. Thus, that people may look back in their life. They may look back in their life and they may remember how that the Lord has quickened them through his word. Or they may remember how that their soul that may eat up that word of the Lord. They may remember how that the Lord has spoken unto them, how that they have received it as truly the word of God and not the word of man. Oh, then they may remember how personal that word has become to them. Then they may remember how fitting that was, that the Lord has made it for their own case. Oh, they may remember how that the Lord gave them so to believe it, so that no man was able to take it away from them. Oh, they may remember something. They may remember how that their soul was quickened by it, how that it was made alive,
how that it was revived once again. Oh, they may remember how they may lay their whole soul before the Lord and upon the Lord, that they may trust in Him, that they may leave everything with Him, that their whole case, oh, their whole case they may lay upon the Lord. They may remember how low it brought them. They may remember how that it brought them in the dust, that they may be with Jacob as a worm. Oh, they may remember how they desired so to glorify the name of the Lord and to say to all the people of the Lord, come and hear, and I will tell you what the Lord has done to my soul. Oh, that they may remember. No, they are not always there. But that does not mean they do not have comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. Am I His or am I not? That thy word hath quickened me. Oh, then they can lay that before the Lord. Then they say, Lord, was it not thy own word? Oh, didst thou not quicken my soul then at that time? Oh, didst thou not make me to hope in thee? Oh, remember the word, O Lord, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And so the people, they may be given to rest in their affliction, comfort in their affliction, because His word has quickened me. And He is not a man that He should lie. And He is not the Son of Man that He should repent. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Congregation, what animates your human spirit? What quickens you? What makes you lively? There are many things that will do that. Honor will do it. Like Haman, how quickened he was, how lively he was to seek that place of honor. So many thoughts, so many plans, so many things he did that he may have the place of honor. Does that quicken you too? Riches will do it. Like Gehazi. To figure it all out, how I may get it. Is that what quickens you also? Envy will do it, like Cain, to animate him to destroy his own brother. So we can go on. How many things in this world do quicken the human spirit, the spirit of a man? But were you ever quickened by the Word of God? Did the Word of God ever have a place in your heart so you could not let that Word go? Can you say that with the psalmist? For thy Word hath quickened me. Thy word has made me alive. Thy word that has made me lively again. Or has it always been dead? Under the preaching, under the reading of God's word, under the reading of that which is based upon God's word, the writings of His servants, you understand, if we have never been quickened by the word of the Lord, then we miss something. We miss the comfort of God's servant here. We miss
the comfort of David. If we have never been quickened by that word. Has that word always been, congregation, as we have sat in the house of God? Was that word always for someone else? That word of God is true. And that word of God is not only true for everyone else, but that word of God is true for you. Your case is laid out in the Word of God. Your case, from the smallest, youngest, unto the oldest, every single one of us, our case is laid out in the Word of God. Did you ever find it? There is something applicable in God's word to you, to every single one of us. Do you know what is applicable to us by nature? The condemnation that is written in the Word of God because of sin applies to us. Did that ever quicken you? Did that ever make you lively? Did that ever make you fear? Do you know what also applies to us in that Word of God? Those of us who are privileged by the Lord to come under the preaching and reading of His Word, do you know what also applies to us? Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Did that ever quicken you? Did that ever move you? Do you know what else is applicable to us? When the Lord gives us to hear the preaching of His word, the invitation of the Lord, that is applicable to us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Did that ever move you? Did that ever quicken you? Did that ever make you say, Lord, Lord, my sin also? You say, maybe I cannot move myself. Although I would, I cannot move myself. I cannot quicken myself. Can I give to myself that life from the dead? This death that does not give way to life. What must I do? What must I do? Is that your question, congregation? What must I do? When that death that will not give way to life, tell that to the Lord. Tell that to the Lord. Because you cannot quicken yourself. We cannot quicken you. But the Lord can quicken you. Oh, tell that to the Lord. That is number one. And number two, stay close to that word of God. Oh, stay close to that word of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus said about that widow and that unjust judge. Remember it. And continue, congregation. Continue. Because what does the Lord Himself say? He that asketh, he shall receive. He that seeks, he shall find. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember each and every one of us? It is our own congregation. Lord, wilt thou give each one a place on our knees before thee in our secret chamber, and that we could not let thee go except that thou would bless us. Lord, could it please thee to use thy word in this morning to quicken the dead? Forgive all our many sins. Bring us safely home for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 363, stanzas 4 and 5. For the Lord, my soul is waiting, more than watchers in the night, more than they, for morning watching for the morning light. 4 and 5 of 363. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.